Good morning, Avi Doria speaking. I have one question, and one of the things is perhaps the cartoons confused me, because you talked about rotation, and I wasn't sure how things went from one to another. So sometimes simplicity actually does confuse people. But the other concern I had when I was listening is it always got quickly to, and we can vote out the board. And while I'm as sanguine as anyone about voting out boards and voting out board members, I'm hoping that we have a deeper arsenal of tools we can use, or a deeper toolbox, I should say, of tools we can use, and perhaps in the examples, it would just, because it got there too quickly, and as they say, I'm fine with voting people out at the end of the day, but it seemed to be the first step in a solution. So perhaps that worried me a little. Thanks.
I'll get back to that, but let's hear a couple more comments first.
I have quite a long queue. I have Greg, James, Brenda will read the remote question from Eric, Fiona, Jordan, Izumi as well, and after Jordan, I have Jonathan Zook and then Izumi, and then we'll recap the input we've got on this. So the next is Greg.
Greg Shatton, Intellectual Property Constituency, for the record. I'd like to applaud those sitting so far away from us, but sitting with us, for their creativity and preparation. I think it's really good out-of-the-box thinking. I'd like us to reflect on what the original meaning of the word cartoon was, which is that it was a sketch or a first draft, which was then used to create a more permanent piece of work, such as a fresco or a mural. I think we should take this as the cartoon for our further work and which we build on. It doesn't include all of the colors. It doesn't include all of the background. It doesn't include everything that fits in between. Some things change as we move. The perspectives and the elements shift a bit. So I think that we should take it very much as a living document in that sense. I think that it's very easy to come in and criticize people and to say alas and alack, so to speak. But I encourage a positive development. Note Alan Greenberg, for instance, you know, seeing the spirit, Cheryl, seeing the spirit of this, I think it is very much in the spirit of work, just as a cartoon is in the spirit of a work in progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I have James, and then we'll go to Brenda.
Thank you. Is this on? Thank you. James speaking. So I want to associate myself with the comments of Greg and Cheryl and others. I think this is excellent work. I almost hit the snooze button this morning, and to think I would have missed this amazing surprise. Really what this does for me is I imagine some of us have had great success in gathering feedback and reactions and input from our constituencies, and some of us, you know, maybe it's a little harder to get folks excited and energized about some of this material. And this takes... I think some very broad brushstrokes that we've been painting with thus far and puts them into some, as Greg was saying, a very accessible rough draft that we can then build on and to fill in the blanks. I did have two quick points, and I think you touched on them a little bit, but I think they are important to highlight again, is that the square that had the four corners or the four quadrants, that slide, I think really simplifies the exercise of measuring proposed accountability mechanisms against our identified stress test contingencies, because we can essentially just walk them through each of those. And if we find something's missing, then that's an indicator that we need to do a little bit more work in that area. And secondly, I think by condensing everything that we've discussed into these four abstract elements, it not only addresses accountability needs now, but I think it sort of arms and equips us for accountability scenarios in the future that are going to be very difficult to anticipate in advance of the transfer, and something that we can build on as we go forward. So I'm very pleased. I want to associate myself with the comments of folks who are encouraged by this. I think that this points the way forward. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next is Brenda, and then we'll go to Fiona. Brenda, for the remote question from Eric.
Thank you. This is Brenda Brewer. I have a remote question from Eric Bruner-Williams. And the question is to Thomas. Your second example, ICANN accredits itself, appears to assume that the contracted parties have no contractual recourse. Have you discussed this odd scenario with the RYSG chair? A yes or no answer is sufficient.
No.
Thank you.
Fiona and then Jordan.
Just go ahead. Fiona Songa for the transcript. I'd just like to commend the chairs for the effort they've done to consolidate the work in a simple manner that enables everybody in the group, in the room, and in the community to understand how we are moving forward. I think that this is a good skeleton for the work that we need to do to accomplish in the next few months. And I believe that it enables even those who may feel that the process was very involving and there's too much paper back and forth to understand what needs to be done and how we're going to do it. And even for the future, if anyone was not involved in the process and they wanted to come back and see how did we do it, this clearly demarcates how we've gone about to achieve what it is we want to achieve. It is a good skeleton. We are going to now be able to better thrash it up, add the flesh, look at the contracts, look at what parts of the contracts would pull in as principles and put into the bylaws, what aspects remain as just contracts between the various contracted parties, because I don't think that everything will definitely get into the bylaws, but we need to be able to appreciate what we have within ICANN, how far we have come, and be able to give room to make the minimal changes that everybody has talked about during each of the sessions, to be able to make the minimal changes that we need to move forward and to be able to facilitate the transition. And issues of accountability become easier when it's easy to know where they fall. It would be much easier for everyone to understand what the issues are and how we need to move forward. And I think the whole sketch sort of gives room to accommodate the views of the different stakeholders, because when I look at the numbers proposal, it can easily be accommodated within what has been presented. When you look at the protocols proposal, it can be fitted in. We need to give the NEMS group time to present theirs, but I think this gives a holistic view of how we need to move, and it's very well structured. Thank you for the effort.
Thank you, Fiona. This is now trademarked, so no worries. So I have Jordan, and then Jonathan, and then Tijani.
No.
Olga is on the right. He's in the right. You're in.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Before handing over to my... No?
Okay. So that's just not exactly the order I had.
I see myself after Fiona. Maybe.
But I guess we can accommodate that, because it's you, Olga.
Well, I'm flattered. Thank you. Before handing over to my colleague, Julia from Denmark, I want to commend you for the beautiful sketches, and it's very helpful, at least for me, that I'm very visual. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. Jordan? So this is Jordan and
Jonas. Hand over to Julia from Denmark. This is what
I Julia.
Said.
Are you sharing the mic? Poor Jordan.
She cannot hand her, raise her hand.
Right.
Her computer is not working. I just wanted to say thank you and hand over
Jordan
to her.
Jordan is a gentleman, so I guess he can accommodate this.
Please, would Julia say something?
Sure.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. It's Julia Wallmann, GAC Denmark, and I would also like to echo my colleagues here that this is a very useful approach, which may ease the understanding of our GAC colleagues, I think, on our thinking. But this also triggers, I think, a few questions from our side, and I assume that many of my government colleagues will ask themselves what is the role of governments, or will be, in all of this. And then I would like to underline what you have already said in the beginning, is that the importance of inclusiveness in all of this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jordan, you've been very patient. And then Jonathan, and then Tijani.
Thank you.
Thanks. Just on a point of process, can we just be clear about who is managing the speaking list? Should we be relying on your verbal cues, or should we be analyzing the chat list?
Not everyone is on the chat list, so I'm trying to fit in some of their hand raised into the queue as it forms.
That was what I thought you were doing. So just so we can all be clear, Matthew tells us what the speaking list is. Don't rely on the chat room. So anyway, thank you. I would like to join our massive self-praise and backpatting and congratulation in saying that these diagrams are great, and I particularly want to agree with what Cheryl said about the fact that for people whose first language isn't English, breaking these things down simply is very helpful. And telling a clear story about the work we're doing is fantastic. I don't know if any of the CWG leadership are in the room, but maybe you should try some diagrams or cartoons. The second point I want to make relates this to the feedback we got from the community, and I want to just put two cautions in the room. The first is that to achieve simplicity might not be the same thing as minimal changes. ICANN, to me, in my impression, has a lot of accountability, a lot of transparency mechanisms that take up a lot of resources and a lot of time. And if we can come up with mechanisms in these boxes or others, and I'll come to that in a minute, that are more effective, it might actually be a very significant program of change for the organization that might leave it better off in the long run. So I don't interpret the calls for simplicity as being you can't change anything. I interpret them, and I think we should have taken some time to discuss the feedback we got this morning from across the community. I interpret that as being the system that we must come up with has to be simple, A, and B, in the discussion about the work we're doing, we must keep things simple. So I think this does that second point nicely, and I think that we will all aim for an accountability framework for ICANN that is simple, clear, and compelling. So that's the first point. And the other point I wanted to make was, I don't think we've done the detailed work to know exactly whether everything we might end up proposing is going to fit into these boxes. So I think we have to keep stressing in our dialogue with the community that this is where we are at today and this is the story we are telling. But as we go through the work, things might shift. For instance, the Ombudsman is part of the accountability framework, but it isn't entirely clear where they fit in this matrix. So as long as we're agreed that this is our storytelling and this is how we're explaining ourselves, and as long as we're not prejudging the detailed work we might do that might need this to flex a bit, then I think it's an entirely helpful contribution. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Excellent points. Jonathan, and then Tijani, and Izumi, and we'll be closing the queue. Jonathan.
Jonathan Zook from ACT. I love the cartoons, and Thomas, if you want to make a video that you narrate, I'd be happy to help you out so that we could post that. I'm inspired to roll a whiteboard up to the microphone this afternoon for the board, so to give that some thought. But I want to not lose the points, actually, that Sebastian and Eric Bruner-Williams made, which is about contracts that are, in fact, to date, the only truly binding accountability mechanisms in ICANN. And as Jordan said, are not perhaps captured in this four-quadrant diagram. And so it may be that for the beauty of it, we need to simplify some of the language, like just talk about appeal mechanisms or review mechanisms that might include a lawsuit or something like that under a contract, because that is one of the primary means of accountability that exists today and may in fact be improved, as Sebastian has suggested on numerous occasions throughout the course of the meeting. So let's not lose that point. And it's the same thing with principles and bylaws. I think in theory it might just be principles, because bylaws starts to be a mechanism in which those things are expressed. So bylaws is one of the ways in which we might affect a change, as opposed to it being a category of change, if that makes any sense. And that may help to accommodate some of the things Jordan was talking about, refine these categories a little bit to make them more inclusive, potentially by making them even simpler.
Thank you, Johnson. Tijani?
Thank you, Matthew. Tijani speaking. Sébastien, pour ton premier point,
So first of all, Sébastien, I agree with you. We need to send everything to the list. These drawings should have been sent to the list. For the first point, you know, I don't like to go against what you said, Sébastien, but as far as principles and bylaws, if you already have the list, if the list has already been decided upon, you can say whatever you want. However, this is what we are working on. These plans are what we are going to work on. I like what we have here, and overall, I think that the leaders did an excellent job. Thank you very much.
Izumi, and then we have a remote question that will close it.
Thank you, Chairs. I very much support the summary and this diagram, as many others have done, not just for the work within this cross-community working group, but it's really helpful to share this with our respective SOs and ACs, and ultimately to the wider community, because it gives them a picture of, okay, if they want a particular solution, where would this fit into? Or what would be the area that they really want to focus on? So I find this a summary very helpful. And it does show the interrelationships between the four mechanisms. And I think it really helps to avoid coming up with duplicate solutions and trying to address the same problem in about this trying to avoid coming up with several different solutions for the same issue. I think this diagram is very helpful in doing this. So this is very much in line with the input that we have shared from the ASO, come up with a simple and most effective solution to address a particular concern. So I very much support working based on this approach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Izumi. Brenda, for the last question from remote.
Yes, this is a question, a remote question from Eric Bruner-Williams. Question to Thomas. As your answer to my prior question was no, then do you have any reason to believe that your scenario is probable and illuminates an accountability issue?
It's not probable, but it was meant to illustrate a fear that had been discussed in this group.
Okay. We're going to wrap it up now because as much as we've, enjoyed the experience of doing this and are very mindful of the very appreciative comments we've heard, as well as feedbacks for the areas for improvement that we have. I think we need to wrap up and go into operationalizing this, because that's not exactly. We still have a lot to do on this, and it's time for us to spend time on this. So, would you wrap up what you've heard, Thomas, and how we can proceed with this part?
Yes, thank you, Mathieu, and I'd like to briefly respond to a couple of concerns that have been voiced, and also thank for the support that we got. We heard two things, one of which was, why didn't you send that to the list earlier? It would have been great to see that before this meeting. And we also heard that we sort of exercised powers to come up with something as co-chairs. Now, these got ready last night, and also, we wanted to keep it so simple, and there's a risk with keeping things simple, sending them out without explanation, because then people build their own stories around it. So we thought we might as well guide you through this and get your feedback. And we got very valuable feedback. And this is not exercising powers as co-chairs, but living up to the duties of chairs, driving a discussion forward. And that is sometimes a burden, because you take the risk of, making the impression that you get disconnected, but that was certainly not the intention. Nor is any of this cast in stone, but I think we need to start with some sort of model, and if it works and if it can be held up, fine. If we see there are additional elements needed, so be it. With respect to the bylaws points, when we prepared this, actually, we were not thinking of bylaws only, but it would be bylaws, policies, contracts, the whole repertoire. So I suggest that we refine this chart by just saying principles, regardless where they go. I think that's even more general, but it captures it better, and I think that's something that Jonathan alluded to. This is not all about kicking out the board, but we are pretty much talking about, you know, thinking of worst-case scenarios and making it absolutely bulletproof. But as we walk through the individual accountability mechanisms, these will have different sanctions. These will have different escalation paths. And only if all else fails, that might be the big stick. And usually directors are very afraid of being dismissed, right? So that is actually the ultimate resort tool that we have that could replace the big stick that we were using as an analogy for the replacement of the US government. What role the governments will play, we haven't sketched it out here, but nonetheless, as you look at the individual accountability mechanisms, there might be, or there will certainly be, in the composition of the decision-making bodies, a role for governments as well as for other groups in the overall community. So that's yet to be decided, and it would be prescriptive if we spelled out a specific role for a specific group. We take these comments to heart. I think what we might wish to do is publish sort of a commented version. And I also like the idea of having a movie explaining things a little bit in a 60-second type thing, but I think that's yet to come. But we much appreciate the feedback. Next step is going to be, how do we link this to the work that we've done so far? And Mathieu is now going to show you through an approach to that.
Thank you, Thomas. Sébastien, did you want to react shortly? I'm impatient to get into actually rolling up our sleeves and working now. But please, Sébastien, if you want to say one last reaction.
And the document, thank you very much.
Just, it's on the wiki.
It's been sent.
So the next slide, because it's all well and good to have something simple and explain how we are working and how things are working out. Did you? Sorry, Alan. I did not notice the hand raised, and I'm so impatient to get to work.
This is really, really a very, it's Alan Greenberg speaking, a really short intervention. I don't think you need to apologize for taking what we've done and trying to organize it in a simple way so that we can go forward. No apologies are really needed for that. Thank you. That is why we hired you and pay you the big money.
Is there money involved? I'm sorry. So what we need to do is deliver a proposal. And as we've said in this storytelling exercise, we've been thinking about how we can structure things. So we discussed on Monday a first rough draft of principles provided by Becky that we need to elaborate on. We need to be describing the powers of the various constituencies, and we need to be describing accountability mechanisms that's our charter. So bear with me, I'm gonna try and explain how we can organize this work and operationalize it, and then we can even have concrete discussions about certain items. So the next slide. So the principles we've had, Becky's, I call it the Stroman proposal, shared with you on the Monday meeting. There was the mission, there was the core values, there was the mandates. My suggestion, our suggestion is we leave it as it is. This will be refined as we make progress on the various mechanisms and identify some issues to be taken into account. So this, we have a basis, a starting point, and as we proceed, we'll be enriching this or simplifying this so that we have a set of principles in the end. And I have Steve's hand up, or for Becky maybe. Becky, you want to react to that?
Can you raise your hand? They can't see where you're.
Yes. Front row.
Thank you.
In addition to, obviously, refining it as time goes by, I do think it would be useful for people to begin actively commenting on it and making suggestions. So that's just a tiny little note.
So action item is taking your input, putting it on a wiki page, and starting a thread to enable anyone to comment on this. Is that okay?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. Is that on the notes? Steve, you want to follow up?
Thank you. Steve DelBianco with CSG. With respect to these mission core values and mandate, the way I understood it was prepared were that Becky was developing the criteria, the standard by which an independent reviewer would make a decision. We shouldn't automatically assume that those standards are the underlying part of the entire pyramid on the previous slide, you see, because it's not settled yet that those standards have to be there for the community to veto a decision. A community veto might just be a two-thirds majority of members or a permanent cross-community working group. And there might not be a standard at all other than a two-thirds majority. Another idea would be rejecting a budget. That may not be based on a standard like a review. Opposing a bylaws change might just be a two-thirds majority of the community. It might even be a 50% of the community. It might not be based on standards. So I think that those principles are more narrowly tailored to the independent review and redress mechanisms, which are available not just to the community once we give it standing, but to aggrieved individuals. And we touched on this briefly yesterday because I am a huge fan of using graphics and concepts to simplify, but their primary benefit is to an external audience who wants to get a better idea of what we're doing. Our internal audience is very aware that the pyramid isn't as neat and clean as that, and we have to take advantage of these face-to-face opportunities to dive in and understand where we have differences. I don't presume for a minute that we could resolve the question of should community veto be standards-based or not, but we can understand whether that's the path we're heading on and recognize that we don't want to create mechanisms that individuals could use to gum up the works and shut down ICANN's work.
You're right. It's an important point to make, and down our road, that's going to be one of the important decisions we have to make collectively, not today, but it's clear that we will need principles. Certain mechanisms might be relying on the whole set of principles. Others might be focused on some certain of them, and there might be some standard of reviews out of this. And the point you're raising, Steve, is excellent, but I think it's within the mechanisms that we will have to discuss the threshold to actually trigger, and I'm using the word trigger on purpose, a certain mechanism. And that's where this discussion will take place when we discuss the evolution of the IRP, for instance. So I have Malcolm and then Becky.
Thank you. I would like to mostly agree with what Steve just said. It is the community's own preferences need to come into this, not only principles. But I would differ slightly in saying that the principles only applied to the independent review mechanisms, if that was what's the import of what Steve was saying. In that I think that we're not just talking about these principles as being for a correction mechanism. For one thing, they certainly go to the board. We're not just talking about these principles as being something that you use when things have gone wrong, but actually they're a positive guidance as to what we, the community, expect. They are about building a culture that understands what ICANN is for, how it is supposed to work, so that we all support it at every stage and every level within the organization and within the community, so that we maybe don't get so many complaints that things aren't working out well because we have built a set of agreed mission and values type approaches so that we are working in a more coherent form. So I would certainly say that these principles fall under the board section as well as under the IRP section of your diagram, for example. I think that's sufficient, to be honest. I made my point.
Thanks, Malcolm. Becky?
Just very briefly, I agree with both Steve and Malcolm, and I think that one way of solving this was, rather than referring to principles, refer to standards at the bottom rung of that pyramid, principles which may be part of all of the standards or maybe the entire standard for one thing, but no, it's just a standard.
Jordan?
Thanks, Jordan Carter. I just wanted us to not lose the concept, which I thought I saw in the principal's presentation from Becky, that we were trying to create a kind of normative statement of how we want ICANN and the community to relate. So the principles, wherever they end up, they might infuse all four of our boxes, they might be written into the bylaws to make them do so, are about the compact the ICANN community has with the ICANN Corporation. And so I'm relaxed about us not developing them more than feedback and iteration while we focus on the detail. But then there should be a reconciliation process, and we should make a powerful statement of the principles, values, standards we want our ICANN to deliver to us and that we intend to hold it to account for. But this is about reversing the presumption that some people have that ICANN is in charge and the community helps it. The community is in charge, and ICANN helps the community. And if we can get the language about that right, that could be a powerful, positive outcome of this process.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. Okay, so moving on to, I think we'll have discussion later on principles, standards, and how we disintegrate. But next stage of the pyramid was the powers. So if we go to the next slide. Powers is by lack of a better word, but happy to elaborate. That's where we find our requirements. So this is really based on the mind map out of the Frankfurt meeting, but worded in a way that is strictly focused on what is enabled rather than a mechanism. So approving the budget and the strategic plan, approving or rejecting bylaw changes, reviewing or redressing board decisions, management decisions, initiating actions against board inaction, preventing action outside of ICANN's missions, or removing board members. Those were the main workstream one powers we had identified. And what we believe we should be doing now is filling one of the gaps that was highlighted in some of the conversations we've had this week, including during the board meeting, is what's the problem you're trying to solve? Why is that important today to enhance ICANN's accountability to work on that specific new power? Is that bringing more, is that helping achieve better some of the principles or standards? Is that solving a particular issue that we have now? Or is that addressing, mitigating some of the contingencies? And of course, I'm expecting a lot of links between this and the contingencies. Because that's where we are, when we say, is this going to be covered by the in the outcome of our proposals, that's where we are saying, okay, if that happened, then we would remove the board or we would review the management decision. There would be the options, and that's why working on reviewing management decisions is an important tool at this point to have an ICANN that's ready for the transition. That's really the why part of what we're doing is something we should not be leaving aside, because we might tend to focus on the what and the how, but at some point we're going to have to show our proposals to the community and wider, and we need to explain why we're working on this. So that's what we're suggesting we do at this level of so-called powers, and then we'll connect that to the mechanisms. I have Alan, Siva, and then Steve.
Thank you, Mathieu. Actually, my hand was up on the principal section. It was just skipped over by someone, I don't know who. It dawned on me as I was listening to Steve talk about saying that some things aren't principles. If we presume that among principles are the rights of certain organizations and individuals to act, then that becomes completely correct. Essentially, the ability to do certain things is based on rights granted to them in the bylaws, and I'm happy to call them principles. So now you can go back to the section you're talking about.
Thank you, Alan. Siva.
Siva Subramanian. When we talk about extreme provisions such as powers to remove board members or the whole board, it also becomes important to talk about caveats, the necessary precautions, and define conditions under which such an extreme provision is invoked. Just to make sure that extreme provisions are invoked in extreme situations and not in trivial situations. So we'll make it a point to define the circumstances on which extreme powers are invoked. Thank you.
Very good point, and we'll be getting to that right away. Steve.
Steve Del Bianco with the CSG. On the right-hand side of the slide with respect to powers, I'd like to try to encourage us to avoid chasing our tail and running around in circles, which is exactly what will happen if you pursue the why is it important section. Let me suggest. We started with a charter on a goal. The chairs and everyone worked very hard of fleshing that out as to what accountability means and accountability to whom. And based on that, we developed requirements for powers. That was the entire breakthrough we had in Frankfurt. So the powers that are listed on the left are the requirements were derived from the goal of a community being able to hold the board and management accountable. So we proceeded in step one, step two to the requirements. Our next step, as you say, is to put descriptions to how to implement these powers with mechanisms and potentially a structure. And the powers do not exist individually. They have to be stitched together so that if we, for instance, came up with a member structure for ICANN, those members then would be given within California law, would be given certain of those powers with certain voting thresholds and certain trigger mechanisms. That has to be considered holistically. For instance, the removal of board members would have to be done by the community, but we have to first decide which is the best community structure that will serve all those powers with the minimum amount of complexity, right, and still be legal and hold the board binding. So at this point, it is much better for us to work on stitching those powers together into a couple of potential structures. Ad hoc versus membered versus delegate. Get legal advice and stitch those together. And once they're stitched together into a cohesive model, a prototype, it is only then that we apply the stress tests to it. There isn't any gain at all to answer the why question on each one of the powers. They were derived from the goal of the charter. So let me answer all the whys. Why? Because our charter said we want to have the community hold ICANN accountable, and we've already done the work and achieved consensus that we need these powers to hold the board accountable to ICANN. Done. Check the box. But it's not necessary to map each one of these to a stress test. That isn't how stress tests work. A stress test is applied to the mechanism, to the prototype that we develop. And I'm happy to dive into stress tests early because they help inform us what we need to have, and that's great. But we don't have to hold up this process to answer why on everything, and we don't have to do a stress test on everyone.
Thank you. Before we go to the next ones, yes, I think we'll have to do that at some point, not necessarily now. We'll get back to that when we get the mechanisms more elaborated on. That's what the feedback I'm hearing, and that's definitely something we can do. Next. Yeah, Mathieu,
just before we move on, I think we're having a disconnect here.
Go ahead.
I understood that you questioned or you encouraged us to remove the why part. And we're going to not do it now. We take that. I think at some point when we write this all up, we need to explain to the community why we are doing certain things.
Could you please consider this? Let's start by explaining that we started with a charter, and we derived powers necessary to fulfill the charter, and that's the why we did them. That's why those powers are there, because they were necessary to fulfill the charter. There isn't any need to now go back again and justify every single why.
So we don't have to close that discussion now, but and certainly we'll elaborate on that, but I think the charter is not a sufficiently good reason to be working on what we're working on. It's formal. It's not related to public interest or something that's outside of ICANN. That's why we think there's a why layer we need to elaborate on at some point. And not now, but I mean, I'm seeing Julia nodding. I think Julia knows she cannot go to her government and say, and we worked on this, and this is important because it was in the charter.
All right, so we need to put together a mechanism and a structure that will hold the Board of Management accountable to the community. That's what the charter said. From there, we did the work in the CCWG of coming up with powers necessary to get there. But each power in itself doesn't have to have a why. We need to put the powers together into a structure that will work. And then that will be what people will
evaluate.
That's a
good point. That's a point I'm fully accepting. We'll be addressing that later, but that's totally acceptable to say that the why might encompass several powers at the same time. Sam, and then Jordan, and we'll move to the cookbook.
This is Samantha Eisner from ICANN. I guess I read the why is this important part a little bit different, and I just wanted to frame it a little bit differently. I agree that we might not need to go so deeply into the contingencies at the time of formation, but I would see part of the what value does it bring, what problem does it solve, as a way of helping to classify, because we might have in some ways competing mechanisms that we come up with, and we need a tool to balance them against each other. And so having some of these questions answered at the outset so that you can see what benefits or risks might be involved in each of the different proposals, I think would be of benefit. So I don't support taking out the why in full at this point. I think that it actually has a lot of probative benefit to, you need to be able to express it in some way. And if you can't, if it's just because why, because we think it answers the question, that's not enough. What question are you answering? How deeply do you think it answers it? And then you can balance the proposals and see where you might want to mesh the different mechanisms together, because we might not come up with just one mechanism to solve a problem.
Okay, Sam. But we have the requirements we've prioritized. So that's what we can start with, at least, even if we're not able to fully elaborate on the why at that point. Jordan, and then a remote question for Brenda. And we'll try and go to the cookbook after that. Jordan.
Thanks. I think I agree with Steve in the sense that we definitely can't stress test individual powers, because the only answer we'll really be getting is no, it doesn't solve the stress test. Yes, it does. It's more important to measure the stress tests against the whole package that we end up putting together. And if our description of each power is why this is important, because it holds ICANN accountable, or more accountable, then that's entirely useless. So I think that within the working parties, we need to discuss why this is important for each power, to just have a sense of whether there's anything more insightful than this just holds ICANN more accountable. And if there are specific angles, we should document them. But trying to particularly justify it against the stress test probably isn't the best use of time.
Thank you, Jordan. Brenda, for a remote question.
Thank you. We have a remote question from Eric Bruner-Williams. A comment, actually. I differ from Steve Del Bianco in thinking that the why is useful and necessary to state. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Malcolm?
Thank you. I'd like to agree with Jordan. The description of why is clearly necessary
for the package as a whole. It's not sufficient to say, well, it's in the charter, therefore we did it. As you said, governments and other stakeholders will want to go back to their communities and say why we're doing it, and there's an answer to the whole. The problem with going through these things individually is that the answer will often be the same to each. This is a part of making sure that something doesn't happen without community approval or in defiance of rules or whatever. And if you do that and you make too big a thing of the why, when you get several different things for which the answer is the same, it starts to look repetitive. And the trap is that a repetition of the same answer makes it look like the various different mechanisms are superfluous because there are several things answering the same thing. And that would be a grave mistake. And that is the thing to be avoided. And that, I think, is particularly the reason why there is objection to spending time on going through the why one by one. So we must make sure that we don't fall into that trap if we do it.
Excellent. So what we've got on here, and we're going to get to the next slide, is... I have a new hand raised, Sebastian, after we've closed the line. Please. Just the plus ones are not necessarily helping us forward. So please, if it's a plus one, then we can leave with that. But if it's a differing view, obviously, then it's important that you raise it.
C'est gentil d'imaginer.
Thank you for thinking that it might have been a plus one. But my question is that this discussion is about, okay, so what's on screen? We all agree on it. We need to do it, but how? So my question to the co-chairs is whether this is a final list, a firm list. Does everybody agree with the list or not? And if it is not the case, then we need to be careful when you express each other, because we need to state the fact that we might need to work on this list, because there are many things. There are things that are repetitive. I think there are things that might be done more in a more simple way. So I believe that the question is still open on that.
Je note que tu en doutes.
I take note of the fact that you have a doubt, but I think that we expressed clearly that it was a suggestion, and I think the debate showed that this proposal had not been accepted as is, and I think it is normal that we debate on this. So if I recapitulate, okay, back to English now.
On the same page on that? We agree, there's an agreement that there will be a need to express some form of why, but maybe not in this format. Maybe not power by power, but for systems of powers. And so we are keeping this as one of our deliverables for later. In the meantime, if there are inputs into how we could provide this, they are most welcome. So next slide is the cookbook. Let's spice it up. So we have mechanisms, and we need to explain how we are either amending them or creating new ones. That's our charter. Our proposal, and that's, once again, this list is a suggestion. It is designed to be discussed with you this morning, as this is the first time you're seeing it, and is not going to be a decision at the first meeting, either on this or on the work method. However, we have short deadlines, and we need to get into the substance of these. So our suggestion, as co-chairs, would be to use the triggered, non-triggered distinction. It's a suggestion, and it's because at least it's something. And we tend to believe there's some form of balance in terms of numbers, okay? What we've seen from the initial exercise, Work Party 1, Work Party 2, the feedback from Becky and Jordan was it's difficult to see exactly where things start or end, and there's a lot in common. So the principles were in common, were shared aspects, And maybe this distinction has to be reviewed one way or another, and I'm perfectly open to that. But we have these mechanisms, and we need to deliver for each of them, and I'm going to go to the next slide. We'll go back to this later. The recipe for each accountability mechanism. So the powers it would enable to exercise, the standing, the standard of review, the compositions, and the accountability, including the accountability mechanisms for the members of, and for the people involved into these processes, the way to come to a decision, the cost, delays, and other aspects that enable real accessibility, and the potential ways to implement that. Or it could be put into the bylaws, or it could be put into a contract, which one, etc. Keep in mind that we are still very much detailing requirements, and we'll go to legal advice then with the question, okay, now tell me how we can put this in place. So we're not necessarily yet doing, I mean, drafting contract amendments or things like this. We are detailing exactly how it would work. So there's three things we need to discuss now. The template. This is bound to create a template that we all use on a regular basis for the description of the mechanisms. And if we go back to the slide before, keep the distinction, change the distinction. That's item two. Item three, do we have the right list of mechanisms? And Jordan has his hand raised, or maybe it's an old one. And then I have Steve.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve Del Bianco with the CSG. I think question two, which is the screen up in front of you, is the distinction helpful? And I take it that the main objective of having any distinction is to divide the work. Do I have that right? Great. And there is only one of those bullet points that is difficult to split. And under the non-trigger, the first one up there was the budget and strat plan process. If that comes up once a year, it turns out that the mechanism by which the community would express its opinion, its approval, or its veto is all wrapped up in the community structure that we would use for all the triggered items on the right. In other words, if the community were a permanent cross-community working group or a group of members, that is the same community structure or organization that would then exercise the non-triggered element of the budget and strat plan. So you suggested it's non-triggered because it's scheduled once a year, and I get that. But it probably belongs in the second column, since that's where the mechanism to vote about the budget and express opinion about the budget would come in. Maybe you have it in both columns for the sake of argument. And Becky Burr's initial work on standards were originally developed for the independent reviewer to give them a standard they would use to go against it. So where would that be? Is that under IRP, the top right-hand column? So all of those standards are in there. And that itself is quite a bit of work, quite a bit of detailed work that would be necessary. And reconsideration as well, the same standard would be there. And what about ombudsman? Has the ombudsman fallen off the map here? Probably you need to have ombudsman up on the right.
We should probably add the ombudsman. Yeah. Thomas, you told me you wanted to reply.
Yes, just a quick response to your point, Steve. The point is well made that the approval is sort of a thing that could fall into the trigger category. Nonetheless, we wanted to base our distinction on what's factored into the whole system as coming up without the community needing to ask for it, right? And it's the duty of the board to come up with a budget proposal, to come up with a strategic plan, and therefore the creation of those is not triggered. The approval process is that needs to be handled, but we suggest that, you know, for those things that, like the structural reviews, that would take place without the community needing it.
I understand.
And you can still use the same methodology for creating it, the list of questions. So maybe we just leave it here for the moment. And
you know what would help make in the center of these two, if they both pointed to the center of quote-unquote what the community is, whatever structure we come up with to represent, what does the community think, that will end up affecting both the left and the right. Because the left and the right are really just, did it happen because of the calendar, or did it happen because of the community?
But that might be one of the beauties of this approach, because we have individual groups on working on the individual mechanisms, coming up with suggestions of how the decision-making body needs to be formed that would have voting thresholds in it as well, right? So budget approval you were mentioning earlier today, like 50% or something like that, or 75%. And once we have that input from all those sub-teams, then we can look at common factors and then build a cohesive structure out of that. But I think we need to get the individuals or the sub-teams run first, come up with suggestions, and then merge it into or marry it into one cohesive proposal.
If I may do a final follow-up, the way that Jordan's document was structured, and we met on it over the weekend to work it, is that the mechanisms are described as to what the community, all they have is the word community in quotes, because we leave it until the end of Jordan's Work Party One paper to say there are several organizational structures that could be used to represent the community. So we sort of separated those two decisions so that we could design mechanisms on the assumption that the community will have a way of expressing its preference. And then secondarily, figuring out the most lightweight possible structure so that the community can have a voice that can override the board. And so we can maintain that and do quite a bit of work developing the mechanisms, but just putting community in quotes until we figure out how to represent it.
Thanks. So I think this is a valuable discussion. I have Alan and then Edward and then Becky and Jordan. I'm giving you a heads up that I'll turn to you to ask this very simple question. What do you think is the right distinction? Because it's really organizing our work. I don't think it has any, unintended consequences in terms of structuring something. And you guys have been kind enough to volunteer to shepherd this. And therefore, I think it's worth, we should give you a sort of a final word on this purely organizational matter, considering the arguments that are being made and the proposals. Is that okay? So I have Alan and Edward. Alan.
Thank you very much, Alan Greenberg. It strikes me looking at this list that the difference between the left and right columns is the order in which things happen. The right column, the community has to take action to trigger it. The left column, some action, a calendar event or something else triggers community action. So it's the order in which the community acts that really differentiates the left and the right. And I think that goes to something about what Steve was saying.
Thank you. Edward?
Thanks, Ed Morris, NCSG, GNSO. Is this on the WP2 considered an exhaustive list? Because I want to clarify that because we need to have something up there for transparency, document requests, DIDP, something such as that. We want to make sure that's not forgotten in the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. No, it's not necessarily exhaustive. It was I picked that from the mind map in the Workstream 1 items, but obviously it's still very much open to discussions. So if there's a volunteer to work on the IDP recipe, I think it will be much welcome. Jordan, Becky, so what do you think? How do we split the works so that you guys do not get anything on each shoulder?
We have consulted briefly, and we think this is a very helpful starting point. We think that there are some minor adjustments that we'd like to look at, and also additional things that we've already sort of had suggestions about. So, for example, the transparency issues were surfaced in the two documents that Jordan and I circulated for the work plan. So our suggestion is that we put our heads together and then come back to the group with the adjustments that we think need to be made. But in general, this is a helpful framework.
Thanks. So you have an action item, a joint action item, to come back with a group with some form of list like this, so we can organize, I'd say, the delivery. Going back to, and we haven't really used the analogy of agile development today.
Not yet.
So that's going to be for me to say. So that we can deliver on a regular pace these templates for accountability mechanisms and organize this. The idea being that we are going to be looking for very small groups of volunteers within the community, mechanism by mechanism, and sort of the peer review thing you do in development is going to be done in the first stage by Becky or Jordan, and then of course we'll review these within the whole group at each point. So that's really the way we're intending to proceed. Thomas, I see you troubled.
No, I'm not troubled. Just to build on that, I think what we might wish to do is find volunteers for each of those to work on the answering the questions for the individual mechanisms. And then the idea is, and I see Jonathan Robinson is in the room, you know, for example, the CWG has asked for something independent, right, as well as it has asked for something on budget. So we can form sub-teams with members consisting of both groups to fill out the form and maybe find common common results on those.
I have Sean on the list, and then Becky. Sean is here, right behind you. Behind you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Please, can you go back to the previous slide? This is Sean for the record from Nigeria, speaking on behalf of myself. I'd like to ask whether the working group can create just a pager to define the connections between the W's, because we have a lot of W's right now. That is WP1, WX1, how do they all connect? Just one pager would be enough. And then I'd like to know, this, what we have right now on the screen, does it all fall under WS1? That is, the things that will be done, that will be addressed before the transition, especially in respect to the work of the CWG. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Very good points. So I think more and more, Workstream 1 means before the transition and we'll keep it. Work Party 1, 2, probably going to have to disappear because it's adding a new layer of acronyms and we ought to all hate acronyms. And we'll go into these recipes and templates. That's really the main point we need to go to. Jordan?
Just really briefly, it's even worse soon because there are three. There are work streams 1 and 2. There were originally work areas 1 to 4, and now there are working parties. So we need to get rid of the word work somehow. Maybe we can get rid of the work as well. The other point I was going to make is that in the original documentation we did in our working parties, it was working stream 1 and work stream 2. So we said we had to look at the whole picture of accountability changes to work out what we had to do before the transition. So at this point, it hasn't been divided, but soon it will need to be, and we need to make sure that we are, I think, as rigorous as possible in making the minimal set of changes pre-transition, as long as they guarantee we'll be able to make subsequent changes later. So that's just a clarification. That at the moment, if you think that shouldn't be here yet, you might be right, but it's just too early to have gotten to that point.
The filtering is still on the way. Edward, Olivier, and then Steve. Edward.
Thank you, Mathieu. I have a question about... and I have a mic. I have a question about the topic of the composition of these new bodies we're going to build, either being a cross-competency working group or supervisory group or memberships. The question will be, how is the composition? Thomas mentioned it at the beginning, and he said maybe there would be different composition depending on of the mechanism. But I think it's a very important question, because if you look at the document, sometimes it mentions SO and SE with equal webs from SO and SE, like what we have here in this working group. In some other part of other document, like work area 2, it mentioned SO, SE and constituencies, that in Steve's document. In some other document, we see the mention of stakeholder groups. So there are many different documents, and I think if we really have to have something, first, not too complicated, not too depending of mechanism, but simple, we really have to work on the subject and not too late, not at the very last moment, because I think it's a difficult question. And if we really to have something accountable, more accountable, we need really to work on this topic very seriously and very early, because it's difficult.
Thomas will answer.
Yes, thank you. That's actually a very good question. And the idea is not to create many more new bodies, but I think we need to think about, you know, if we want to have the empowered community, what are your thoughts on how many representatives from each group should be there? How many delegates, so to speak, can every SO, SE or other group send to this body? So we need to put some flesh to the bones, as well as for the independent review mechanisms, we need to think about what skill set should they have. You will remember in Frankfurt, we were very concerned that things might be, that individuals might be taking decisions, bodies might be taking decisions in areas where they don't have any expertise. So if, let's say, if we saw the need for the independent mechanism to be a judiciary body, you know, what qualifications should those have that can go on that committee, if at all? Who appoints them? Have they binding votes, non-binding votes? What about geographic diversity? You know, all those questions that you might wish to answer in that context need to be fed by this group, right? So, and again, the idea is that for the individual mechanisms, people should think out of the box, come up with a proposal as to what they think an appropriate mechanism and composition would be, and then we need to find the commonalities and hopefully come up with a compromise and consensus position how these committees, if at all, get seated.
Yeah, and I think that having diverse proposals initially would certainly be useful, as long as we can elaborate on what are the underlying reasons for having different proposals in terms of skill set or the way the votes are being made or something like this, so that we can come to a joint position. You want to follow
and
up?
One input being the work we've done on definition, where we introduce the directly affected, non-directly affected, and so on. I mean, we're trying to sort stakeholders. That's one of the inputs we have on the table, let's say.
So, I mean, working on that suggestion, it's important that we kick off work early on some of those items where this question will be key, in terms of course, the different mechanisms by which the community is empowered and everything. There's a lot of work already been done in the Work Party 1 document by Jordan, and put this into this kind of template so that we can be confronted as a group with the proposals and work this discussion out.
Yes, because voting mechanism like supermajority voting or civil are mentioned in documents. So
thanks,
the composition is a key element.
You're right. That's a high priority in general. Steve?
Thank you. Steve Del Bianco with the CSG. I'd like to make two substantive, not process points. Olivier just raised a great substantive point, and that is that if we design powers, it would be ideal. I want to propose that it would be ideal that those powers, whenever they're to be vested with the quote-unquote community, that we have a consistent community structure that exercises those powers, rather than the community is going to be a ACSO ad hoc working group for things like spilling the board. Oh, but the community will be a statutory member when it comes to disapproving the budget. And Olivier asks a fair question. By you working so hard to divide things up into streams, we risk each sub team coming up with a different structure or organizational structure to achieve the power. So we do have to have
a meeting of them, and Jordan's document does that. It calls it community, and the effort is, once we figured out how these powers should be exercised, you go straight to the back of Jordan's document, and it lists multiple structures that could achieve them all. And that's where we really need the legal help, not necessarily the kind of help that we got on Sunday, but more legal help that says, not can the community spill the board, not can the community override the bylaws, but how? How does the community do it? And then that will inform, Olivier, how we would stitch together a single structure that will do all those mechanisms and powers. That's my proposal. And then with respect to work stream one and work stream two, especially since we have Secretary Strickling in the room, Jordan brought up the notion that we want in work stream one only that which is necessary so that we as a community have the power to deliver work stream two whenever we're ready to get around to the work. So I've been a big advocate of one of our tasks. This is a substantive, not a process point. One of our tasks is to move the affirmation of commitments reviews into the bylaws. And that feels really important, and yet it will take a lot of time for the community to develop the bylaws language on what those four review teams will look like and how we move them into the bylaws. Frankly, if we had the power to force a bylaws adoption or stop the board from rejecting a bylaws change, my guess is we could put the affirmation of commitments bylaws into work stream two. As long as in work stream one, the community is able to override the board's rejection of a bylaws change. We'd have to make sure that subsequent to the transition of IANA, the community does a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process to design the bylaws to bake the affirmation of commitments into the bylaws. We surface that to the board, and if they were to say no, let's make sure we have, in Workstream 1, the power to override their decision, thereby making that bylaw binding on ICANN. So, I mean, we do have an opportunity to trim the things that are in Workstream 1 by embellishing the community with powers in Workstream 1.
That's the committed to part of the Workstream 1 definition. Alan.
Waiting for a microphone is a real pain because I was going to say, everything I was going to say was said already.
Thank you very much, Alan. Jordan.
Let's find volunteers for the. Just Steve's agreement with what I had said before about what should be in Workstream 1 and 2 reminded me that there's just a small nuance that we have to keep in mind, that we have to deliver enough in Workstream 1 to allow the communities to come to consensus about the transition. And depending, I don't know yet how the ICANN community collectively through its SOs and ACs feels, they might feel a little bit more needs to be delivered than just the procedural bare minimum. So we shouldn't forget that. We might need to do a bit more than, strictly speaking, we need to do. So I just wanted to qualify that a bit.
Okay. So let me recap exactly where I think we are. We have a discussion on the principles. We've been discussing this. We're going to establish a template based on this, circulate it, discuss it, comment it before we finalize it. But that's going to be the standard. The list of mechanisms to be worked on will be circulated as well. And then Becky and Jordan are going to come back to us with a structure. And it's up for discussion. There can be additions. There can be amendments and everything. Now, we don't want to wait until in 2 weeks' time to start working. So what I want to do now is find volunteers to work on initial mechanisms. We have highlighted two substantial discussions that we'll have to make to have based on this. One is the point raised by Olivier about how, when we're talking community, what is that SOAC? Does that include stakeholder groups, constituencies? And that needs to be a topic we discuss on based on the necessary skills and how we are envisioning the various mechanisms. But it has to be consistent, and there's definitely not going to be any possibility for us to, I mean, pick and choose for different mechanisms. Otherwise, it's not simple, and no one is going to understand anything. But it has to be based on skill set, so that's one of the items. So I have a high, if we go to the precedent skill slide, I think the left side, budget plan, budget and strategic plan and process, the ones that are within Jordan's document, I would like to see a couple of proposals on the table to discuss this further in terms of how it would fit, and so that we can have this discussion based on this and try and find something that suits us. The second item is the one presented by Steve, which was, would we have an individual challenge any kind of decision? Right? Sorry? Yeah. Under what conditions, with which standard of review, and et cetera. And so that's basically the IRP mechanism that we need to elaborate on very quickly, because I think it's going to be important to have this discussion as well in terms of whether we are in a process that can lead to paralysis, that can paralyze ICANN or that can be abused by some to gain the powers and so on. So my point is we need now to get into drafting mode with volunteers and small groups. And I see Malcolm is a volunteer for a couple of items.
Put my hand up at the wrong time.
Exactly which ones?
Sorry, no, I just wanted to come in on one thing that you said. Mathieu, you said that it wouldn't be possible to pick and choose between structures, between the different mechanisms. And while I support what was said earlier about making sure that they're not each developed for each individual mechanism individually, we mustn't be limited to just one. We can't be limited to just one structure to deliver all of this stuff. I think that we're very likely going to need two, possibly more, but very likely two. The kinds of things that are community-based for community preference for a general view, such as the approval of the board and strategic plan, initiation of bylaw change process, those sorts of things, is likely to be a community-type structure. Things that are things based in Becky's norms, like IRP reconsideration process, that are going to be available to individuals are likely to be a different kind of structure, probably an independent adjudication type structure. So we mustn't be limited to just one.
I was just referring to the building blocks and the community empowerment, where within that we can't have three or four types of structure. Of course, the appeals mechanisms are something else. Maybe I was getting ahead of myself, and Becky wants to organize work a bit better and welcome this proposal. Thank you, Becky. Would you have the floor? Do you have a mic, Becky? No? No, you don't? Okay. So go ahead.
Mathieu mentioned earlier we were looking for volunteers, but what we suggest doing in the essence of time is we have volunteers that have signed up for WP1 and WP2. We take that for the moment. Becky and Jordan try to allocate tasks to individuals, and those individuals that don't feel comfortable with it can move, right? So I think we just need to make sure that we get into drafting mode between this and the next meeting, and I'm sure that you can take care of that.
Right. I think that we're all clear. We need to move quickly. We need to get into drafting mode. But I think it makes more sense to allow the rapporteurs for the various work parties to organize the work specifically.
Excellent. We have a question from the remote hub in Colombia, and then coming back to you, Steve.
We need to go to the stress test. Thank you very much, Mathieu. This is Leon Sanchez. The question we have from the remote hub in Colombia by Antonio Medina Gomez from ACUI Colombia is if there will be new working structures being created, or if the existing structures will remain, and if it's possible to have open and inclusive participation for Latin American and Caribbean members, as they have been away from the work at some times.
Thank you. We can't say for now whether there's going to be working structures being created. That's not definitely not the ultimate goal, and something we need to be very careful about. As we said, we want to be quick, we want to be efficient, but we want to be simple. But that's one of the questions that we have to in front of us now. And inclusiveness, as was discussed earlier, is certainly something we need to be working on creatively.
But remote participation is always possible.
I figured the question was related to ICANN in general. Steve?
Thank you. Steve Dalbianco with the CSG. If you could scroll back to slide 8 for a moment, the powers slide. Thank you. I wanted to bring something up. It's a substantive, not a process point, that we discussed a couple of hours ago. In Work Party 1, over the weekend, another community power was added that didn't make it into this list, and I could see why. There was a lot of scrambling back and forth over the weekend. NCSG brought it to us. It was the notion that the community, however we organized the community could veto a border management decision. So we'll call that, I think it's under the non-triggered? No, it's triggered, I guess. Yeah. So it's a triggered item. And it's different than an independent review, which is all that we have up here. We have review and redress, review and redress. So community veto, as Robin Gross, we put it in our document, is literally the community rejecting, vetoing a border management decision. Not to correct it in some way and tweak it, but that is an open item that we as a working group have to figure out, do we want to go down that path? Because if it's truly just a veto, it may not even have a standard by which some court or independent person would determine. It would be just what the community thinks should be reversed as a decision. So by your not including it, I'm just taking that to be you missed it over the weekend, but I do think it's still on the table, and it's one of the areas in Work Party 1 where Jordan is working that's going to require some attention.
Thanks. Point is taken, and we'll update. Olga?
Thank you, Matthew. As for the participation in the work from now on, we are trying to do an effort in coordination about the members of the GAC in this cross-community working group, and we would like to be included in as many activities or groups as possible. So we are volunteering for that, especially Julia and myself, because it is important that we gather the whole picture so we can go back to the GAC. So I don't know if I have to coordinate it with you or the other members of the... Thank you. Just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thanks. This is very welcome and appreciated. We'll close here. We have a roadmap. We have the templates. We have Jordan and Becky who will organize the work. And now I think we'll close this very long item, but we know exactly how we're going to work now. And apologies for not being as substantive as we could be, but I think those gatherings are also the moment where we can organize work and make sure everyone's on the same page with that. Yes, Thomas, you want to interrupt me? Please, go ahead.
No, there have been complaints about us talking process, but I think we are really at an inflection point here. When we go into drafting mode, we need to ensure that we're making best use of the resources inside the group, right? And we think that by going to this fill out the form mode with an understanding of where the individual answers would fit in the overall concept will help us a great deal to come up with a cohesive solution. So, you know, using the analogy of the cookbook, what we're working on here is, you know, having the index, i.e. the dishes that we can cook, then we have the ingredients or the recipes with the answers to the questions. And once we have that, we have one cohesive approach to the overall accountability concept. And that also helps with the implementation versus committed to question, because at least we can say, this is what needs to be implemented. And I think that will help us a great deal as we move on.
Thank you, Thomas. So moving to the next agenda item, a very, very quick update on the legal team, and then we'll go to the stress test where we'd like to get your feedback on the discussion we are having for the second time on these documents that were prepared. Leon.
Thank you very much, Matthew. This is Leon Sanchez. So the update is that it is not as bad as we thought. Thank you. No. So we held a meeting, as you were informed. The legal subcommittee is really small, but it's of course open for anyone that can that wants to take part in this effort. And Robin Gross has kindly agreed to hold a pen to draft the first document that we would be in turn submitting for external legal advice when time comes. And it's very important for the Working Party 1 and Working Party 2 to deliver the questions that we would be also including in this document. So there's really not so much more to say in the legal advice update. And I will then turn it back to Matthew.
Thank you, Leon. Now we're moving to the stress test, where we, I think I should call up, have Cheryl, no, Cheryl's out of the room? No, she's here. Cheryl and Steve come. So the, what we would like to see now, I mean, where are you? Come over. So we have five suggestions, and what we'd like to know to see now is stress test by stress test, whether we find the assessments that are made within those documents, those templates, that whether the contingency is appropriately dealt with by existing mechanisms and whether it would be appropriately dealt with by future mechanisms, whether we are in agreement on that or not. It's not something we're going to make a decision on right now, but we want to get your objections or agreements quickly so that we review them next time. And this is all at a preliminary stage, because obviously we'll have to go back to that one way or another once we have the mechanisms refined. But still, this is, I think, a very useful way to have us to have a shared perspective about what we need to address and how to design the mechanisms. So number 14 is the AOC cancellation. So we've discussed this last time, so we can just recap for us.
Thank you, Monsieur. And indeed, we will not go over what we've gone over before. I will draw your attention, by the way, Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. I will draw your attention to our wiki page, which is open and is welcoming for your comments and interactions. You have a bit of a background briefing now from Matthew, but I need to make it clear the validity of this exercise is not that the stress tests we're looking at are highly probable. They simply mean need to be possible. There's been some interaction on the chat today which has brought some, well, how likely is that to ever happen? It's not the point. It's a mechanism of testing the robustness of our proposals. It is not a measure of how likely it is or not to happen, or indeed any implied criticism to ICANN. And I filibustered just long enough to get Steve back to the chair, and he can just run us straight into 14.
Thank you, Cheryl. Steve Delbecker from the CSG. We've been over number 14 twice this week. We did so on Monday night, and we did so yesterday in the CCWG session. It was selected by Cheryl purposely because it's a relatively clean stress test that gives you a robust opportunity to say, wow, it looks like this could not be solved by existing accountability remedies. Oh, but it could be solved by the combination of remedies that we have in place. It's particularly interesting because it requires at least a couple of remedies. Mm-hmm. For instance, if we put the affirmation of commitments into the bylaws, could ICANN's future board and management take them back out? Well, of course they could. So that's why you have to have a secondary power, which is the ability to override a bylaws change. So in that right-hand column, you're able to do both. So if we could scroll the screen up to the number 14, we'll see if anyone has any...
Keep going.
A little bit more?
More? About three more pages.
Thank you. And I believe that Alice has put into the Adobe chat the hyperlink to the document we're going to run through here quickly. Right,
keep
Alice?
Keep scrolling.
Keep going, please.
Keep scrolling. Keep going.
Stop, please. That's it. Thank you. Very hard to read, I realize, from your screen, so please take advantage of the Adobe chat where Alice has put the hyperlink to the document. No need to probably go through the details on this one. We've already been through it twice. I think that Matteo wanted us to survey the working group to understand whether you agree with the conclusion at the bottom of the page that existing remedies are inadequate to satisfy this stress test and that the proposed remedies, however we define the community in the details, are adequate. Matteo, is that your intent then to get working group feedback?
Just a position. Excuse me, just a position. No signal of support. We would take.
The question is, are there any objections to assessing that the existing remedies for this particular case are inadequate and that the proposed remedies are promising at this point to be adequate?
Great. Why don't we move to the next one? If you scroll up to the next one.
Was there a hand up? Or no, sorry, I missed that. Okay. Next one.
Thank you. The next one was stress test number 16. It's under the category of a failure of accountability. And this one is what ICANN would engage in programs that weren't really necessary for a limited technical mission. For example, using funds, fee revenue, reserve funds to expand its scope beyond its technical mission. We covered this briefly on Monday night, but it was at the end of 3 hours and folks were pretty tired. But I got a lot of help on this one from Samantha Eisner, who was able to help me understand that existing accountability remedies include the strat plan, registrars being able to approve ICANN's variable registrar fees. But we ended up concluding in the stress test work party that the existing remedies in here would be inadequate for the community, in its opinion, to say that ICANN is engaged in a program outside of its scope. There isn't anything baked into the current accountability mechanisms that would stop that automatically or give the community the power to speak up, right? Enough power to speak up about it. And then we turned to that right-hand column, which is the proposed measures, and we talked about several of them. One of them is to veto a proposed budget. That would be the opportunity once a year, the non-triggered, right? The once a year to say this budget includes a bold adventure into an area that's way beyond the technical scope. The community would be able to express that preference, and I'm sure the board would get the message and take it out of the budget. But this would give the community the ability to do so with the voting mechanism. And the other was the notion of challenging a board decision that came in the middle of the year. So it wasn't part of an annual budget, right? It would have to be a triggered decision, triggered by an action that was taken. And we used the example of a secret board resolution to go off and start Net Mundial and fund it with several hundred thousand dollars, that would have been a mid-year decision that the community might have been able to express a preference on. We had no ability to do so in a way that would have been binding on the board's action unless we were to add these new remedies. There was another one to say that we would amend the bylaws, and I want to point out in particular Malcolm Honey, to amend the bylaws so that the bylaws would prevent the organization from expanding its scope. Ultra virus, I think, is the term Malcolm likes to use. The issue there is we would have to develop that language and surface that language up through the multi-stakeholder process, get the community to approve it, and then we would have the power to insist that the board adopt it in the bylaws. However, if there was a shade of gray, the board was taking an action that it's hard to know whether, bad metaphor, right? It wasn't quite black and white, I'll say. That it won't be exactly clear that the board's action is in frustration of that tight little bylaws restriction. We might still need the community to be able to give its opinion about whether this has exceeded the bylaws. So finally, at the bottom of the table, that if ICANN's board proposed to take out those bylaw provisions, well, the community could block that change to the bylaws. So there's a combination, four different mechanisms that are under consideration, and the slides we've talked about all day sort of all have to come in together to make this work. And Becky's work on principles and standards include limited mission. She didn't do just the concept of public interest and standards of review, but Becky has already started on the work of limiting the mission, which I think should dovetail there. So what's the group's conclusion? Do we think that existing are inadequate and that the proposed are adequate?
Promising to be adequate. We have Brenda and then James. Brenda.
Thank you. We have a comment from remote participant Eric Bruner-Williams. His comment is, no sensible statement can be made for something for which no estimate of its likelihood is offered.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
I'm going to James.
Thank you. James speaking. I have a more substantive comment. I think it's probably coming on next slide or two after that. But I just want to point out that the note here that registrars must approve ICANN's variable registrar fees is, while technically correct, I think it is correct to say that that's inadequate, because there's an equivalent proposal in registry agreements that if that were to ever be rejected, then an equivalent fee increase kicks in automatically on the other side. So the table game definitely favors the dealer in this mechanism. So I would say either take that out entirely or note that it is ineffective for that reason. Thank you.
James, we'll annotate.
Excellent. So, Malcolm?
Okay, very briefly, I would just give my agreement that the existing remedies are inadequate. I would give my agreement that the proposed remedies are promising to be adequate in combination, crucially. I think that's the crucial point. Individually, no, but in combination, yes. And finally, and very briefly, I'll give offer my opinion in answer to Eric's intervention there. Given the propensity of all bureaucracies to expand, if unchecked, indefinitely, in this area, there is a clear expectation. It's almost inevitable that it will happen if we don't put in place adequate remedies.
Thank you, Malcolm. So we have some suggestion to actually
add a new
category.
There was almost a friendly amendment to our bottom part there, Bev. So let me, if I may, Mr. Chair, put the point now to the group in the absence of other questions in front of us. Is it your wish that we modify the proposed remedies are adequate to be, as Malcolm has suggested, the proposed remedies are adequate in combination? That's to the table. Australians mean it means we're to discuss it, not take it away when we say to the table. I should have, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Siva.
Siva Subramaniam. The CWG RFP4 is a group that is not very different from this group, because members of this group are also part of RFP4. And at RFP4, we have done some work on the contingencies, and a document was prepared. And then after some discussion, the other stress test was also merged with that document. It now contains about 46 scenarios. And this document appears neater and cleaner, but it's restricted to only 25 scenarios. And is there any particular reason why the rest of the scenarios were left out? And is it because these are not important or would rather not be discussed? And would you like the rest of the scenarios to be dealt with by RFP4 and not by accountability? Can you?
If I may, Mathieu?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdonor again. Getting caught with a pin, I apologise. Siva, thank you very much for your observation, but we have made, and maybe I should have taken the time at the outset of this exercise, to make it clear yet again that in the Frankfurt meeting, which was prior to the exercise in RFP4 that you have described, right, being fully baked as it is now, there were 25 stress test proposals on the table. And we have categorised those into the five primary categories or contingencies. The list of stress tests is open, remains open, and we expect it to be added to, but we also expect that it will probably still fit in our framework of five. So whilst we do not want to have an endless exercise by any means, and whilst any new stress test brought to us to make the cut to get into the table, we'll have to bring a new and unique aspect to our work, the answer is yes, they can be added, and I would suggest you go through, do a compare and contrast, and make some proposals of which one you'd like us to consider.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'll have Jonathan and then Shane.
Jonathan Zook from ACT. I'm hesitant to bring up what might be a minor point, but if we're looking at this as a way we'll be discussing this going forward to go off of Malcolm's point, it may be that instead of proposed remedies, it might be the proposed framework, accountability framework, is adequate, because in reality, not all of the aspects of the framework are going to, in fact, be remedial. So it's really just this notion of this package we've put together is what we're actually comparing.
Consider it done.
Thanks. Sean?
Thank you very much. This is Sean for the transcript record, speaking on behalf of myself. I'm looking at this item 16, and I think we may want to look at the rewarding of that statement, especially the one that refers to grants for developing nations or other causes. I think one may say supporting registrars in developing nations is not necessarily a technical mission. However, it's part of ICANN's mission. Supporting a registry may be a technical mission. I think we need to perhaps remove developing nation from to be an example. Let it be more focused on Netmudia is not is a good example, but relating it to developing nation does not adequately play justice on the problem. So please, it's good to provide grants to developing nations, because they really, really need it to keep track on the other communities. Thank you.
Chairman Steve, I think we can adjust that.
His turn.
Yes, this has been in the rhetoric for 7 weeks, but I realize that people might just be spotting it for the last time. As you quite correctly understood, it's the word developing follows the words for example. And if you have a better way to express the example, great idea. Or if you just prefer that the word developing not show there, that's fine too. We don't necessarily have to have a for example on there. It's just done to help others understand what this is about. The truth is, it's up to the community to know whether it's worthy to support registrars in developing nations. And we do that when we come up with budgets. We do that when we make policy decisions. And the truth is that ICANN does things to help developing nations, but it still needs to stay within the limited technical scope. I'm going to tell you, I think we need to move quickly or we'll never get through the five, but this is your meeting. How do you want to proceed?
I'd like to ask for positions on the assessments, considering the friendly amendment, so within the package of mechanisms, and considering that we'll adjust the wording anyway. Okay? So I would move to the next.
Please scroll up to number 22. It comes from the failure of accountability again. I'll give you a moment to look at that, because this is the first time that many of you have seen it. These were distributed on Saturday morning. And I note that we are making decisions, we're getting input from the audience about whether these assessments, existing, inadequate, proposed adequate, that will all change as we actually put meat on the bones of what the proposed framework really is. So there's nothing that's getting locked down right now at all.
Okay.
All right, so why don't we talk a little bit about 22. Like, take for example that an ATRT recommendation has been sitting there on the table for 4 years and not been implemented despite the fact that it was approved. Let's suppose a bottom-up policy was not implemented by board and management. Let's suppose an independent reviewer's decision, taken with all the standards, was ignored by the board and management. These are examples of where the board failed to comply with the bylaws and refuses to accept the decision of a redress mechanism constituted under the bylaws. Underneath the existing remedies, there's nothing as binding today in the existing remedies, and that's why it was a fairly a slam dunk to conclude that existing remedies are inadequate to that stress test. And by inadequate, we mean they do not empower the community to hold the board accountable. Switching to the last column, which is the proposed measures, we have several of them in combination to change the standard for reconsideration requests so that substantive matters can be taken up, not just process. Becky, I think that's on your list. substantive matters in a reconsideration. Another is the community could force ICANN's board to implement a recommendation arising out of an ATRT. Alan Greenberg, this is about taking action against board inaction, but it's taking action on something that the community, in a bottom-up way, had already approved in a consensus. And by that, an ATRT recommendation that hasn't been implemented. So we do want a community power to stimulate that action, but not to pick up the pen and create something new. The third paragraph in the right-hand column, another is to empower the community to challenge a board decision and to refer it to an independent review panel. We can't do that today. We do not have standing. We couldn't challenge singular and plural because we as a community of registrants and users have no standing in the IRP. And finally, the fourth paragraph, that if the board were to ignore a binding decision, the only other proposed measure is for the community to force resignation of board members, the so-called nuclear option, which would be extremely difficult to use, extremely disruptive, and I don't put a lot of value in it, to be frank, other than as a mutually assured destruction threat. So I'd hate to rely on firing the board as an important incentive for them to follow the community. Let's not overstate that. We have concluded that the proposed remedies, if in combination, to use that phrase, are adequate to address ICANN making decisions, but we didn't go so far as to say prompting action where there's inaction has been covered. Because, Alan, I've only covered one case here, the case of an ATRT recommendation that hasn't been implemented. You and others in the working group may have other forms of inaction for which you want to stimulate action, but we're going to need to hear about that to understand whether we know the mechanisms have covered it. Mathieu?
Thank you very much, Steve. Any substantive comment, objection on the assessments? Anand?
Sorry, I can't find Adobe Connect on my machine at the moment. I said, sorry, I can't find Adobe Connect on my machine at the moment. An example of the inaction that I was referring to was particularly related to IANA. IANA's not working. The board isn't doing anything about it. That perhaps is the classic inaction that we need to concern ourselves with today.
Thanks for that, Alan. Anyone else? I see Azumi. I'll just manage the queue for you. It's okay.
So, Izumi Okutani, I have a question rather to Alan's earlier comment about IANA. I'm just wondering what in action that Alan is referring about the IANA that he thinks we should cover in this accountability working group. Because at least from the numbers perspective, in terms of IANA's numbering service function, this is already covered as a part of the proposal that has been proposed by the numbers community. So I'm just wondering, like, what is something that we want to do in terms of this cross-community working group related to the IANA?
Thank you. I can't really answer that because we don't have a proposal in front of us in sufficient detail. Ultimately, the CSC or the customer group or whatever entities we have will, either complain and hope to get action or talk to ICANN and say we need to get this fixed. But if the board chooses not to do anything, the CEO chooses not to do anything, and they just sit on their hands, the board is the only entity that controls, ultimately has control. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Alan, I understand exactly what you're saying, that to be supportive of what the CWG comes up with, if the CWG comes up with certain processes of escalation, the CWG may have a process by which the MRT concludes that the contract should be moved or go to the backup provider, and if that's written into ICANN's procedures or bylaws, and the board chooses to ignore it, we would want this mechanism, the community overview mechanism, the community ability to stimulate an action that's called for in the bylaws, we'd want that action to be helpful to the CWG. This is to answer critics around the community this week who've said that the CWG is too complex, that it has an entire appeals mechanism that is duplicative of what we're doing in the CCWG. We want to make things simple. So to the extent we can, if the CWG has appeals mechanisms, the ability to push the board to action where the board is supposed to act,
we'd like to be able to accommodate that.
Okay. Just for the record, I was talking about prior to the nuclear option or things like that, just sure. getting things fixed. And I only raised the question because you named me and asked me what other cases I was talking about.
And I just wanted to ensure, because Izumi asked a question regarding the numbering community, and they have their own accountability mechanisms into their own proposals, and I don't think this conflicts with it at all. It can even be a preventive measure for the overall ICANN community to force the board to action before the numbering community has to rely on its accountability mechanisms. So we need to check the consistency on this, which is not the place in the stress test to do, but we'll need to check how this interacts and the story it will tell on the blocks that we've highlighted earlier. But I'm confident it's going to fit anyway. Thomas, you wanted to make a remark? Yeah, Thomas was first on. Siva's first. No chair privilege.
No, actually, my question relates to the previous slide. So, should I wait or ask that question later? It's about the mechanisms. So,
please.
I have a feeling that the mechanisms that you have listed does not quite cover all the possible accountability needs. For example, if there is a situation where the community wants to ask the board, why did you spend so much money on this, or why did you reduce the number of meetings from 3 to 1, or why did you dissolve this working group? It does not quite fit in to say that you go to the IRP or to the ombudsman. So there needs to be a totally different accountability mechanism which would cover something like this. And also some broader questions like why does this particular constituency has an overwhelming influence on the affairs, or why is this constituency not given importance, and so on. So the mechanisms will have to have a rethink and have to think of a certain other process.
Siva, that would be a transparency measure. And it may well be that if we achieve member status, we get the right to have access to all records. But as you know, the community can ask the board these questions. They can ask management these questions. And more than likely, you'll get an answer. If you don't get a complete answer, you go back and get a deeper answer. And I think that if the community is completely frustrated that it can't get an answer, and a majority of the community is really concerned, it could initiate an independent review of a non-transparent process that's required under the bylaws. But here we are. We start with a stress test, and the stress test wasn't lack of transparency. There might well be another one in there. There's 25. I'll have to go check, and you should help me do that. But let's not encumber this stress test with anything more than is in it. You take a stress test and you check to see whether our mechanisms will work. You bring up a transparency problem. It's valid, but that's not what we're talking about on this page. There's another place for that.
I'm conscious of time, so Thomas, last comment, and I think we'll leave it at 3 stress tests so far and move on next time.
Yes, before we move to testing the waters for the third stress test, I understand your hesitance to invoke the board recall mechanism, and therefore you call it inadequate. But I would ask for a friendly amendment to actually call them adequate, because the combination of the mechanisms you're suggesting makes it an adequate response, even for board inaction.
Thomas, personally, I mean, that's your personal opinion. My personal opinion is that spilling the board is so dramatic and drastic and disruptive to the community that it's not a threat that would be taken seriously. I could see perhaps conditioning it. Proposed remedies in combination are adequate, but only if the board takes seriously the threat of being recalled.
I'd be happy with that.
All right.
You've got your
friendly amendment. So, friendly amendment, only if the board takes the threat of being spilled seriously.
But keep in mind.
Can you recap this?
Yes.
I think not everyone in the room has a clear view of this.
Do you want me to reread it
Yes, please.
Okay. Proposed remedies in combination are adequate to the extent that ICANN's board takes seriously the threat of being recalled. Now, I do want to say, Thomas, that the reason, one of the reasons we said are adequate but not to address ICANN inaction was the character of the kind of inaction we'd want to go for. It may well be that if we build in the capability to have an explicit mechanism that says that an ATRT recommendation that wasn't followed but was approved can be forced through by an action of the community. If that were an explicit mechanism, then you don't even have to go to the board thread on that one. But we'll make this change to that conclusion. And I guess with that, we're finished with the stress test for this meeting.
Unless there are obviously objections to this in the room. Rule off.
Are we not communicating the message that we will never use that possibility if we tell the board that this will only work if they take the threat seriously? Because if they don't take the threat seriously, then they should be spilled.
And after that point in time, they'll take,
if they
serious,
take it
seriously. They'll take it seriously
or
after.
Or not. No, but I mean, if the thing. No, but my point is that if you communicate this, you're telling them, don't take it seriously because we will never do it. But we want you to take it seriously so that you think that we will do it. Get my point?
I think Steve and I do because the friendly amendment didn't come from us. So yes.
Yeah, but you might be suggesting, Roloff, that these in combination are adequate because the board will realize that the community could spill the board. That's how you would prefer to word it. We'll put all these in here.
You know,
we'll put them all in there. This
we'll
is preliminary.
Work offline.
We'll get
we'll
to it later.
Correct. And get this
I
right.
agree. And yeah. And I submit that there are countries where they spill the whole government. My country does it roughly every 2 years. So I think spilling the board of a company is not the end of the world, even if it's ICANN's board.
Yeah, and some countries don't have governments for a few years. I'm not
I'm
not giving names. Jordan?
Thanks. I just wanted to, though this may be a little bit too general for this point, but I just wanted to remind people that this discussion shows us exactly why we have to have an integrated set of measures in terms of accountability. Because if we have gentle little steps of accountability and a little bit tougher, and then suddenly there's this huge gap to spilling the board, we are creating a remedy that will maybe never be used and will only get used if we're in crisis. So I just wanted to point that out in the work that we're doing in the working parties. We need to, without overcomplicating the system, without making people terrified of a large bureaucracy, blah, 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 that we've got the right sort of gradations between remedies.
So we'll take this off list. I have Avery here and Malcolm in 2 minutes. We are done. So please be extremely concise because we're not going to conclude this item right now. Okay?
Avery Doria. I guess, once again, I'm confused. At the moment, these are just sort of samples, right? Because we have not developed any of these schemes. So the fact that we're arguing, or discussing, rather, detail how it will work. Okay, thanks. I'm less confused.
And that's going to be useful to detail the mechanisms after that. Malcolm?
Thank you. I would add to what Jordan just said by saying that this also exemplifies why developing normative standards is crucial. If the belief in spilling the board or spilling board members, recalling board members, is going to be compelling, we have to develop community standards of what we expect so that then it is considered, well, of course we did that. It's natural that we acted to spill them because they were not upholding the standards that have been properly done. So that is crucial for that. There are other
Once
mechanisms.
Once again, I mean, we're taking the discussion
sure.
offline.
Sure.
And just...
I'll just say in one sentence that there are other mechanisms that could be made to make it more viable as well, such as identifying particular responsibilities for board members and so forth. I am wary of giving enforcement powers to things like ATRT teams to actually make things happen. There becomes the risk of becoming sort of a shadow board or creating too much there. I would not want to weaken the expectation that in combination of the things that we've just said, board recall powers are actually ought to be a genuine
Your point
control.
Is taken, Malcolm.
No, please,
thank
no
you.
Response. No response. We're taking this offline. We're just closing the line with whether Siva is... No, Siva is okay. All right. We're not going to the room or the remote participation for objections. We know we have this discussion to take on. It's going to be extremely useful because you're seeing that we are raising the point of whether we need something to spill the ball or not. That's just an example of how these stress test examples, we are going to influence the way we set up the package, the recipes we're going to be working on. So we need to be doing this on a regular basis, and we'll make sure in our future calls we allocate time to have these regular discussions as we move, and look forward to Steve, Cheryl, and the group providing more of these stress tests to us for review. Leon, I will skip the timeline point because I'm late. We're very late, so skipping the timeline point, which we'll update on at our next call. Leon, you want to give us an idea of the next steps?
Yes, well, we should have another face-to-face meeting. We're having a coordination meeting later today with the CWG, so we need to do a couple of arrangements so we don't clash in meetings. And we'll let you know as soon as that gets sorted. And, well, of course, we need to take the discussion off list of all the topics that we've discussed today. We will be sending, of course, the notes and recordings, transcripts, etc., as we always do. And, we will be making a statement as co-chairs at the public forum. So we kindly invite you to listen to it and applaud. And that will be a wrap-up for the session, because we're closing just in time. And thank you very much for everyone.
And with that, I just want to say it's been a great pleasure to have such a contributive session. The setup wasn't perfect for that, but I'm very happy we had a lot of interactions. I'm sorry we've been so distant, but yeah, we're going to work on this, and I certainly look forward to the further calls, and we have a lot of work on our plate for the future, tight deadlines. But with a group like this, I'm sure we're going to make it. And I want to thank the translation, the scribes, the support staff, and all of you, and the board, and everyone. Thank you very much.
Mais c'est bien qu'on ait dit, attends.
Non, c'est une très bonne idée, que Mario trouve absolument